Well, I hope and pray that everybody's doing well. It's such a joy to record these youth messages, and hope and pray that the youth of our church who have been coming for the last couple of years, or any youth, are blessed by them. But more importantly, we're all young at heart. We're all children of the living God. Amen. I entitled my message this week, Mercy Me. And God's mercy is for all of us. But the term Mercy Me originated from a young man by the name of Bart Millar. He was a youth ministry intern in Florida. He was concerned about so many things, and his grandmother also was concerned about him being on the road and doing all kinds of different things and playing music. So whenever she called him and she would get him on the phone, she would say, "Well, mercy me, Bart, why don't you get a real job?" It's kind of stuck with him. So he formed a music band. He was a very good singer in a band, and he named his band Mercy Me because of what his grandmother was telling him. But this young man also did something. If you remember the movie, and I hope you've seen it, if you didn't, you can still see it, I Can Only Imagine. And he wrote a song by that same title, and then it became a movie. He was in a abusive home. His father was very abusive, and growing up he had a lot of challenges. But eventually him and his father reconciled, and when that happened, and his father then passed away from cancer, he was saying, "Geez, I can only imagine what heaven will be like." And it became a movie, Mercy Me. There's a young man, I want to share this with you, and I kind of found this, and I think it's kind of cute. But it's also very, to date, I guess, or lets us think about some things, especially now as kids are getting back to school, college people are getting back to school, and you're making all kinds of preparations. And the story goes like this. A young man was filling out a college questionnaire to help determine roommate compatibility. By the questions, it says, "Do you make your bed regular?" And the other question was, "Do you consider yourself a neat person?" Well, this young man checked the box marked yes. His mother was going over the application, and she was reading his answers. And knowing they were far from the truth, she said, "Why did you lie on this application?" "What?" he said. "And have them stick me with some slob?" We don't want no slob with us, living with us, that's for sure. But the point of it being that we're all prone to excuse our own faults and magnify the faults of others. Amen? You know how it goes. I'm quiet. You're unassertive. He's a wimp. I'm concerned about you. You're nosy. You're curious. I'm thrifty. You got a bit tight. You know, you're like cheap. I drive with the flow of traffic and you just speed all over the place. You are reckless. Well, Jesus addressed this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 37 through 42. And I want to share that scripture with you this morning. New Living Translation says this, in its subtitle, "Don't Condemn Others." Jesus said, read out of tradition, "Stop judging others and you will not be judged. Stop criticizing others or it'll come back on you. If you forgive others, you'll be forgiven. If you give, you'll receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it'll be used to measure what is given back to you." And then Jesus goes on and he gave this following illustration. What good is it for one blind person to lead another? The first one will fall into a ditch and pull the other down. A student is not greater than the teacher, but the student who works hard will become like the teacher. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, "Friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye," when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite! First get rid of the log from your own eye, then perhaps you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Well, may God add his blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. But you know, Jesus knew our common propensity to justify self and then blame others. And as he concluded in the section of his sermon dealing with the requirement of loving our enemies, he knew that we would try to dodge its demands by judging our enemies and excusing ourselves. So he gave us a strong corrective by showing us how we should focus and showing mercy, not judgment, even towards those who have wronged us, and then to help us to apply it in our lives. Then he goes on to show that we must focus on judging our own sins, or we will be like a blind person trying to lead another blind person. So only when we have judged our own sins that we can see clearly to help another person with their sins. Amen? In fact, we must judge ourselves down to the heart level, because only a good heart can produce good fruit. Thus, Jesus is teaching us that to love as we ought, we should focus on showing mercy towards others, but also on judging of our own sins. Oh, mercy me. You know, we need a lot of God's mercy in our life, and it's available to us just for the action. Well, I hope and pray that you're doing well, and we're grateful that we're able to bring you these messages to you, and I hope and pray that they help. In the precious name of Jesus, have a wonderful, blessed day. Amen.